What are the burning issues of today, and where does your congressman stand on them? Joe Budd is running for Congress for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives on behalf of many South Florida residents. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. We're going to talk about some of the burning issues of today with Joe Budd, including the economy, education, abortion, and the border, and crime. This is Vocal Points, and Joe, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Jerry. Thank you for having me on today.
Sure. Now, we're not in any way endorsing anybody's candidacy, but it's good to hear from you. And let's begin with you yourself. I understand you're a Christian.
Yes, I am. I moved to Florida in 1993. I joined what at the time was called Boca Glades Baptist Church. A couple of years later, I was ordained as a deacon, so I've been there for 29 years now. I've been a deacon there for about 27 years, right. Chairman of the Finance Committee for probably 24 or 5 years, and a Sunday school teacher as well.
Oh, that's great. And made you decide to run for Congress?
Well, actually, this is not my first run at Congress. I had thrown my hat in the ring back in 2010. I was the first guy to run against Ted Deutch in a general election when he was first elected. Back then, the district that we're in had a 26% advantage for Democrats, and I had outperformed that number. That district has been completely changed now, and today only has a 5% advantage for Democrats, and the winds of change are blowing out there, and I just saw this as an opportunity. And to be honest, you know, through prayer and my wife encouraging me, I first was opposed to it. It's funny, it's usually the opposite. I want to run and she would be opposed, but this time she wanted me to run, and I was opposed to it. And I thought, here I am, successful career, a financial advisor, starting to relax a little bit, taking a little more time off from work, golfing 3 or 4 times a week. I was just very happy with my lifestyle, and I was saying no. But then God told me I was just being selfish and that I needed to make the sacrifice and run. And so I just felt compelled to run, even though I was initially opposed to it.
All right, and let's go ahead, let's go through some of the burning issues. First of all, obviously, unfortunately, Florida's been hit with this major, major hurricane, Hurricane Ian. Some are trying to politicize it. In fact, some are saying, literally, they are blaming this hurricane and other natural disasters on climate change and the fact that our government isn't addressing the issue of climate change. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think, let's just talk about the victims of Ian right off the top here. It's obviously this is a catastrophe for many families who've lost everything, and the human life loss and the loss of all their valuables, possessions, and things like that. I mean, I'm seeing pictures where Sanibel Island is completely devastated, and I feel terrible for that. And obviously, almost anything that we're putting out now is linking the governor's link to making donations for the victims of Hurricane Ian. So my heart goes out to them. I pray for their families, and I feel really terrible about that event. But to blame that on climate change, I think, is a step too far. I mean, obviously, I've been in Florida since 93. It was the year after Hurricane Andrew was when I moved to Florida. Mm-hmm. I lived through Hurricane Wilma, was a direct hit on us, and we were in the eye for about an hour. And it's just amazing, the calm in the middle of the storm that you hear so much about.
Sure.
But we've had climate change. Climate change is real. The climate does change. The climate warms and the climate cools. Throughout history, we've seen that occur. But when the Democrats say that climate change is the greatest threat to humanity, that brings about the cause of why we're in such poor economic times right now. Because the first thing that the Biden administration did when they came into office under that belief is they shut down all new drilling leases, drilling in Anwar. They shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. And that made a quick, dramatic, negative effect on our overall economy, because 6,000 goods and services, the travel industry, and all types of things are relying upon the price of oil. So here now we have 2 years later, runaway inflation, record high gas prices, record high everything, okay, as a result of their belief that climate change is the greatest threat to humanity. Here's the facts, Jerry. In the last 20 years, the U.S. government has spent $5.5 trillion to basically stop our reliance on the fossil fuel industry. And 20 years ago, 86% of our energy was derived from fossil fuels. And for $5.5 trillion, 20 years later, they moved the needle down to 84%. $5.5 trillion to move it 2%. To me, I see that as the biggest scam placed upon the American people. And there's no way Hurricane Ian, or any other hurricane for that matter right now, is the result of climate change. We go through patterns. We've always gone through patterns. I can remember April 28th, that's my birthday. But back in the 1970s, there was a headline in Newsweek that scientists were worried about a cooling climate. Now they're worried about a warming climate. Yes, it warms, it cools. We go through cycles. So that's, you know, the bottom line is their belief is why we're in such bad economic times right now.
Wow, that's excellent. Okay, let's, I'm going to ask for shorter answers for the next ones just because okay. I want to go through. No, this is fantastic. That's a really important one because that's kind of the fountainhead of all kinds of bad things sure. related to the economy. Okay, crime and no punishment.
Well, I mean, we see chaos in all these cities. I mean, look at Minnesota, okay, of all these reforms, criminal reforms that are basically saying, Lee Zeldin, look at the candidate in New York. The guy, he got stabbed. Guy rushed him on stage. He got stabbed. That guy was out in the streets the very next day. That's a violent criminal. We're releasing violent criminals right away, and we're experiencing the chaos of that. You know, we have a justice system that justice delayed is not justice, and we need to quicken up that system. We can't be releasing, you know, hardcore criminals back into society so fast like they're doing right now.
Abortion.
Okay. We have in the state of Florida a 15-week rule on abortion. We saw what the Supreme Court did. The Supreme Court basically said that at a federal level, that's not how the Constitution speaks to it. The Constitution says abortion decisions should be made at the state level. So I'm running for a federal office. I won't support any type of abortion bill from the perspective that the Constitution says it's not a federal issue anymore. It's a state issue.
Federal debt or government debt?
Well, federal debt needs we have to get control of that. We can't just spend money we don't have and leave that burden to our children. Ultimately, somebody has to pay the piper for that. I'm not in favor of a balanced budget amendment because there are times throughout history, whether that's war, famine, whatever it might be, that the federal government may need to spend more money than it has coming in. But those times should be few and far between. We need to be much more responsible.
Okay, education, and I'm going to add some additional questions related to education, but let's start with an overall statement.
Well, I would say, you know, we had a big thing earlier this year. The Florida legislature passed this parent educational rights bill, and a lot of people were trying to say it was the Don't Say Gay bill, but Don't Say Gay wasn't in the bill whatsoever. This was a bill about protecting the innocence of a child. I had somebody send me a text, and I think it's right on the money. It was a little humorous from this perspective, but the only thing a second grade boy needs to learn about sex is girls have cooties. You know, it's not something that's age appropriate at those levels. Education systems should be for reading, writing, arithmetic, not for sexual orientations, gender therapies, or anything like that.
Okay, comment further on the transgender agenda, because this is a very, you know, strong controversy, but it's crazy because some adults actually want kids, if they're feeling, you know, maybe some gender dysphoria or something, to be allowed to go ahead and have disfiguring surgeries or puberty blockers, things that could literally scar them for the rest of their lives, and they want these children to be able to make these decisions as children.
Well, no, obviously shouldn't be allowed. It is, like you said, scarring them for lives. We're starting to hear a lot of testimonies from from children who went down that road and regret it. You can't get a tattoo in the state of Florida until I think you're 15 or 16 years old with parental consent. But you can get gender transformation therapies and things like that. It shouldn't be allowed. And especially without a parent's involvement. They're doing this behind the backs of parents in schools, and there's no place for that.
All right, here's another school-related issue, critical race theory, CRT.
Well, here again, this is a program that's basically teaching division. It's teaching one class, one race to hate and despise another race. There's no room for that either in our schools. We should be treating each other equally and not creating divisions and saying one race is either superior or inferior to another race, or one race is responsible for the outcomes of another race. That's not something that should be taught in our schools at all. It's teaching hate.
How about any comment on school choice or even homeschooling? Homeschooling has grown a lot more since the pandemic because a lot of people realized they could do it, and they realized they didn't like some of the things being taught in the public schools.
Well, that's one of the great things we have under the leadership of Governor DeSantis and the Republicans in the state of Florida. I think Florida is like the number one state in the union for school choice opportunities, vouchers, charter schools, all kinds of opportunities for children to go, for parents to send their children to pursue the education of their choice and the freedom to be able to do that. That's something I certainly would want to protect on a federal level as well, that parents should be in charge of educational choices, not the state, not the government.
Okay, how about the southern border?
The southern border needs to be secure. Now, I've always been maybe a little more compassionate on that issue than maybe a lot of Republicans are. In fact, I like something similar to the Dignity Act that's posted on Maria Salazar's website. Maria Salazar was our new congressman in 2020 down here in the South Florida district, and she promotes something called the Dignity Act. I like probably 98% of that act that she has posted on there. What that does is it secures our borders first and foremost as a primary thing, because one of the issues we have with an insecure border is not just the fact that everybody talks about, criminals and terrorists and who knows who is coming across that border, but one of the largest problems that we're having to come across that border is the fentanyl drug price crisis. And now they're making that rainbow colored, trying to make it attractive to young people. It's being found here now in Broward County schools. And I like to think of it this way, okay? Everybody remembers 9/11 21 years ago and the collapse of the buildings, a very massive, obviously, event that is imaged into our memories. 3,000 Americans die that day, okay? But here with the fentanyl crisis, we don't see that big event occur. What is actually occurring on the ground, though, is we're having three 9/11 size events every single month from the fentanyl drugs coming across our open southern border. 9,000 people are dying every month. Three 9/11 size events every month, and that's something that must be addressed. Our government can no longer turn its back on that situation.
Okay, we basically have 30 seconds left. Go ahead and give us like a closing thought, and you're free to give a website too.
Okay, well, again, Joe Budd, the easy way to remember me is This Budd's For You. I'm a financial advisor by day. I have about 100 million assets under management. What that says is people trust me. And I want to tell people out there, when you vote for me, you can trust me to stay and hold to my integrities, my values, and do the right thing for you. My website is votejoebud.net, and you can go on and learn about more of my positions, my pro-Israel positions and things like that. So I encourage you to look that up. Jerry, I would just want to thank you for the opportunity and time you gave me to speak to your audience today.
Okay, thank you, Joe Budd. All the best.
All right, thanks, Jerry.